You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Yep, there it is. Now give me some fireworks.
Oh, we did it.
Double fireworks.
Wow.
Rainbows.
So pretty.
Welcome to Oddball from my dining room table. I'm Amin Alhassan, and that is Charlotte Wilder. Say hello, Charlotte.
Hello, Charlotte.
There it is. Got a great show for you guys today. We have another edition of Eddie Johnson Stories. That's right. He's been regaling us ever since All-Star Weekend.
This is our, you know how we had Summer League for so long? We just wanted everybody to feel the way we felt when we just kept rolling Summer League content into like November. We wanted something that will stay with us and transport us to the multiverse of Mean. So that's what Eddie Johnson has become. And I'm grateful for it.
Also, Troy Weaver, general manager of the Detroit Pistons, got into a shouting match in front of everybody with a fan. A fan dressed like my man from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We'll get into all the details of this altercation. But first, we got to talk about Rudy Gobert getting fined $100,000 for making the Johnny Manziel money gesture behind Scott Foster's back. Real brave of you there, guy. And then afterwards, doubling and tripling down in his post-game presser. And Charlotte, I'm just going to start by saying I thought the league was incredibly lenient, and I thought he should have been suspended a couple of games for it.
Really?
Yeah.
$100,000. That felt like a on the higher end of the fines we've seen this season, like when Darko went after the refs up in Toronto and he was fined, I think, 50 grand, but I
25.
What about that? I mean, what about that is deserving of a suspension? I don't disagree with you. I just would love to hear your breakdown of it.
So there's a couple things going on here. So number one is obviously the gesture. The gesture is bad enough. He was teed up for it. His team was up. They ended up being the last points of the regulation, sitting in overtime. They lost in overtime. He fouled out, by the way. Also, by the way, as he's doing this gesture for a call that when reviewed, clearly was a foul. I asked Jared Allen about it. I said, what do you think? Did he foul you? And Jared Allen said, I don't blow the whistle. All I know is that someone hit me in my face. So beyond just being incorrect about arguing about the call, to do it with the money gesture, indicating that the refs are on the take and that there is something untoward other than just this call didn't go my way. Mm-hmm. And I think the number one priority for the league office, mm-hmm. whether Adam Silver, Joe Dumars, whoever, is protecting the integrity of the game.
Yep.
Protecting the integrity of the game. And what Rudy Gobert did with that gesture, and has been doing for a while, albeit in less overt ways, is attacking the integrity of the game, always implying that there are agendas other than wins the participants in the game that are affecting and impacting the outcomes. So you say, okay, he's upset, he lost his temper, he did something dumb. Afterwards, in the press conference, he says, I'll bite the bullet again. I'll be the bad guy. I'll take the fine, but I think it's hurting our game. I know the betting and all that is becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way. So basically, he's saying that gambling is the reason why his slap of Jared Allen's face should not have been called a foul, but was called a foul, right? He goes on to say, my reaction, which I think was the truth, but it wasn't the time to react that way. It cost my team my game. It was an immature reaction, meaning, man, I shouldn't have complained about it that way at that time. It was poor timing. But what I complained about is 100% factual. The idea that Scott Foster and the referee crew manipulated the result of the game because of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Rudy Gobert is a repeat offender in terms of attacking the integrity, not the refs need to do better, not hey, we deserve calls too, to imply that there is something else out there.
Yeah, it gets into conspiracy theory territory. It gets into it's not an apology when you say, hey, the thing that I said that calls into question absolutely everything about this game that fans are already inclined to have conspiracies about. I'm not only going to say that in the middle of a game by doing this, I'm going to then say afterwards in my press conference, yeah, you know what? I still have my tinfoil hat on, still think it's true. Sorry, I was immature. Sorry, I cost my team the game. He's not actually apologizing for what he said because he says he believes it. And anytime there is something like a conspiracy theory, all you have to do is give an absence of fact. And that can stand in for fact. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. And it's also just like really lame. It's like really lame to be like, the reason we lost is because the refs are on the take. Like, come on, what are we doing? That's like such JV. It's such a JV reason.
This was the other quote. I made some mistakes. I airballed a dunk. Mistakes happen. Refs make mistakes too. But sometimes I think it's more than mistakes. I think everyone that's in this league knows. What he's doing is he's saying, again, that this is a scripted product, that this is like wrestling, that the results, the outcomes are not dictated by the merits of the people playing, that it was all predetermined and predestined. He is attacking the very integrity of the game, the one thing you cannot do. You could say Scott Foster's a bum. You can call him blind. You can call him dumb. You can even go as far as where Chris Paul goes and say, Scott Foster has a problem with me personally. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't give me the benefit of doubt on calls. And that's all acceptable because what you're doing is you're basically attacking his competence. Now, I think competence is fair game to be attacked for anyone. I could say Rudy Gobert sucks. I can say that. I might be wrong, but I can say that. And it's just a matter of opinion. I think he sucks. He thinks he's pretty good. Agree to disagree. What I cannot say is Rudy Gobert is throwing games. Rudy Gobert is manipulating and is doing things on purpose to basically sabotage what's right. happening. Because now I've hit the integrity rather than the competence of the player. The league, as you mentioned, Charlotte, Darko Rajkovic got fined $25,000 for saying, quote,
they had to win tonight. If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Which again is speaking to a predetermined agenda that mm-hmm. wanted the Lakers to win that game and that the Raptors had no chance of winning the game, not on their merits, but because just the way the script says they got to do it. Hit them with something that's bigger than normal. Let the Players Association go in there, file a grievance, go to arbitration, bring it back down to whatever it should have been. But the message has to be sent. You cannot, none of us can do that to this game because now we're really f***ing with what this product is. When we're saying this isn't Coca-Cola anymore, this is just yak piss and we gave it some food coloring. That's very different from saying Coca-Cola doesn't taste good.
In other corners of the league, Amin, we had Troy Weaver, the GM of the Pistons, who I hear are doing really, really well this season, got into an altercation with a fan who said, you suck at your job. And there's video of this. We don't see what happened before this person started filming it. It appears, and you, I don't know if you're convinced this happened. I don't know if I'm convinced because the audio is a little weird. It seems that Troy Weaver says the F word and says something about beating your ass and then tells security to get this fan out of there. This fan in a Red Wings denim jacket somehow, a little confused. But that is exactly what you're saying, where someone says you can say you suck. The fan literally said you suck at your job. So that was, I guess, not necessarily defaming his character or his intent, but saying you are bad at this. What were your thoughts when you saw this happen?
Well, first of all, I was thinking Cameron Frye has really aged tremendously. I mean, wow.
Alan Ruck from Succession. Alan Ruck
from Succession, yes. Yeah. Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Rumi! But then I thought to myself, A, exactly what you just said. He said you suck at your job. Dude, you got to have thicker skin than that. You cannot allow people criticizing. And by the way, I would love to sit Troy Weaver down and ask him, do you think you've done a good job in Detroit?
Yes, because Mr. Weaver, you've gone 70 and 229 in just over three seasons.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and okay. Just say, like, okay, wins and losses or whatever. But think of some of the players that they've invested in. Trading for James Wiseman, trading for Marvin Bagley, and then paying him more than anybody was going to pay him, right? Drafting Killian Hayes, drafting Isaiah Livers, right? No one is 100% awful at this job other than some people I worked for over a decade ago. But for the most part, like, everyone's got hits and misses. I think Ausar Thompson was a great pickup by them, a great draft pick by them. Kate Cunningham is a good player, although the number one overall pick, how much credit can I give you for acquiring the number one overall pick, right? I think Isaiah Stewart and Jalen Duren are both incredible players. Marcus Sasser, I think, is going to have a fine career. So he's had good moments, but overall, he's had a lot of bad transactions. And I'm sure, because I know how it is, there are all types of things that happen behind the scenes that lead to where you are. It's all right to say, hey, man, yeah, that happened, but that really wasn't all my fault or whatever. That's cool. But what you cannot do is then lose your cool and start cussing out a fan at a game because he said you suck at your job. That you can't do that, right? Number two is, let's just say, hey, man, I'm a real sensitive kind of guy. Then don't sit your ass in the bowl, man. Get a suite, sit in the back. Like, when I was in the front office, and albeit I wasn't general manager, but I knew I'm emotional. So I would not be anywhere in the bowl. We'd watch it in the back, in the video room.
Troy Weaver basically did the physical reality of like, if you could walk into your Twitter mentions, he just like walked into it and a fan was like, hey, you suck. And he was like, I do not like this at all. So I think that he should not sit there. I agree with you. I also hope he's not reading all the comments or that he has not gone on the Detroit Pistons Reddit page in a while, which is also one of my favorite places on the internet at this moment in time.
By the way, this is for all front office people who enjoy a certain level of anonymity pretty much because they're not playing the games. They're not on the sidelines every night. This is what your players and coaches go through every day. Every day, face to face and on the internet. They deal with it every day. And they don't flip out for the most part the way like that. So just food for thought. All right. Without further ado, let's talk to Eddie Johnson.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you've got to listen to Six Trophies, where Shea and Jason serve up the biggest moments from around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus, a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments around the NBA. This playoff season, you'll want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication isn't covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelte may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelte?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelte and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
I am Eddie Johnson, and this is Storytime.
So, Eddie, you played for Cotton Fitzsimmons. You played for Larry Brown, George Karl, Rudy Tom Donovan, some of the greatest coaches. You also played with Reggie Miller. You played with Hakeem Olajuwon. You played with Charles Barkley. You played with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp.
Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning.
That's right, when you were in Charlotte, including Del Curry and a small
and
child.
And watching Steph shoot at the other end. Yeah.
I always find that players that played in a lot of different places and played with a lot of different types of personalities have a very unique perspective on the game in a way that a guy who may, like, on paper have a greater career than yours but played in one place doesn't. They don't have that kind of perspective. What is it about playing for all those different coaches and all those different great, playing with those different great players has helped you in terms of, like, understanding the game?
The first thing is it challenged me to obviously make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because each team has playbooks that's like this.
Right.
And so now you go to a new team, you got to immediately, like, earn the respect of everybody, one, but most importantly, the coach, because it's about minutes. Like, athletes will tell you, it's about minutes. Like, the money is great, all of that, but we crave is minutes.
Yeah.
We want to play, and then everything else is in their control, so now we'll be able to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
But when a coach controls your minutes, then that puts you in a tough situation. And so for me, when I would go to these different coaches and these different teams, I would study these coaches. I already knew going in what they ran. I was a guy that had game tapes. I have game tapes right now in storage of probably 80% of the games I played in the NBA.
That's crazy.
So I got, like, I played in over 1,200 games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I have a ton of tapes.
It's amazing.
And I'll go in storage every now and then, pull them out, and look at them. And guys were like, hey, man, what, you got that tape for that game and all that? Yeah, because they used to laugh at me. But one of the reasons I did it is because, one, I wanted to study guys. And two, I would watch games and watch what they ran and all of that. So if I did, because I knew I was going to get traded. I knew that I would not play for one team my entire career.
Mm.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of knowing that, I wanted to always be in front of it and understand these coaches, know the history of the game. Like on my radio show, Sirius XM, we talk about the history of the game all the time. And I think that's why I have that job, you mm-hmm. know, because I can just regurgitate stuff. But it's only because I studied it. It's not like something that just pops in my head. Mm. And so all these coaches were so different, you know, but they were the same. You know, they just wanted to motivate you in certain weird ways and certain dynamics. Like I told you, Cotton told me to get off the bus, you're waved. That spurred me to really concentrate and not get caught up mm-hmm. into an individual situation and get away from the team.
Mm-hmm.
That made me understand that. And as a matter of fact, after that game, I didn't tell you, he didn't play me for about 7 straight games.
Wow.
He didn't play me. And then one day again, he said, are you playing? And then that on, I never changed. And so he just taught me that, you know, and he knew me past my family. And so when I went to my next coach, you know, I got traded from Cotton. And I had Phil Jackson. I had John McKinney? No, Bill McKinney. What was the McKinney for
McKinney,
the Lakers?
Yeah,
McKinney.
Yeah.
And that was right after his accident.
Right.
And I had him. And then I go to Seattle, I got Casey Jones.
Right.
Casey Jones, totally opposite.
Right.
Of Cotton. Laid back.
Yeah.
Always singing. Not a combustible coach. And Gary Payton and Sean Kemp were young rookies. And I show up 55 win team I get traded from. And I'm watching Sean Kemp and Gary Payton show up late to practice. I'm watching Gary Payton talking in practice. As a rookie, you never talk. Mm. You don't talk when you're a rookie.
No. No. I remember a time when rookies knew their place. This is a couple of years ago, someone was telling me, I said, where's the rook at? And they're like, oh, he comes in on the second bus. I was like, come on. Rookie on the second bus was unheard of. And I'm not talking about 100 years ago. I'm talking about when I worked in the league, which wasn't that long ago. Like, unheard of.
Yeah.
So, Gary.
Yeah.
And so I told Nate, I said, does he talk like this all the time?
Nate McMillan?
Yeah. He said, yeah, you know. And it wasn't like Gary was out of line.
Right.
We were talking about how to guard certain things and do this, but rookies don't, like, you know, so it's something new to me.
Right.
And I watched them for a few days and hanging around them and just, you know, and just trying to get to know them, as Rich Kelly taught me. And so one shoot around, he just was just, I said, Nate, I'm getting ready to say something. So you gotta back me up. I said, I'm getting ready to do something. Right. And I'm new to the team. I'm only a couple of weeks in. So I finally look, I said, hey, man. He turns and looks at me. I said, would you shut up and listen? That's Gary.
Okay? Yeah.
We all know how Gary is.
Yeah.
Gary got two, at that time, he had two big buddies that was, you know, part of his entourage. And these dudes like big linebackers, right? I said, man, be quiet, man, and listen, man. You know? And he turned. And he kind of stiffened up, like not to fight, but just looked at me. Don't you thought? I said, man, look, just be quiet and listen. And so, in order to, you know, I knew I had to, I've always believed, like, if you're going to say something negative about somebody, I've learned this, especially in TV, you better come back with about two or three things positive. Because that's going to create a problem. They're going to go back and watch film. So I knew I had to, something was going to happen in the locker room.
Right.
So he comes into the locker room. And but even before he can open his mouth, right, I went over and I grabbed him. I'm like, come here, man. You know, I said, look, the only reason I did that is because I just think you need to let the veterans talk and then you come in. Like,
right.
Just let, they've been here longer. Let Nate handle it. And then you looked at me. I got you.
You got through to him.
Yeah, because, I mean, Gary, like, was face of the franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
He could have went upstairs. You know?
Yeah.
Get
him.
You know,
as
a rookie.
Get this new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just that kind of stuff that, you know, I've learned, man, over this period of my life that, you know, in all the stories I have, that I could write a book.
You should.
But I never know. No, I can't.
You should.
I am an author. I am an author. I have written a book, and I'm actually writing a book now. It's a fictional book.
So why do you say you can't write a book? You're writing a book,
but
right?
I'm not writing anything.
You can't say the things.
Some of these things can't be written, can't be put in writing.
I can't, because I'll get the writing and I'm like, oh.
Well,
the crazy thing is, so I was thinking about this when you tell the story. You played for Casey Jones, who, like you said, laid back. And then the next coach was George Karl, who was the exact opposite of laid back. What was that transition like for the team?
The funny part is, so Benoit Benjamin had gotten traded to us. And so Benoit, agent was Don King.
Really?
Yeah. So it is some stories that I will tell. So his agent was Don King. And so when he got traded to us, he comes walking into the gym because he had got there, got to the team, he got there late or whatever. And I see him come in, and we're at the other end practicing, and I see this entourage of, like, guys come in behind him. it had to be at least 8 dudes. And they all had leather jackets on the same. So I'm looking. I'm like, and then, you know, I don't bite my tongue on anything. And the guys that tell you that I play with, they know. So I like kind of walk the other end because I want to see what's on the back of these jackets. As Team Benjamin.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. So all these dudes walk in, and I'm like, and they sit in the stands, which George didn't allow that, right? But he didn't say anything. So he comes out there, and, you know, he meets everybody, all the players and everything, and then fine. I went up to Nate. I said, boy, we going to have some problems. We going to have some problems. And George just looked at him. And so about a week later, it didn't take George long. George was very combustible. Mm-hmm. He had just coached over in Europe, finally got back to the NBA, and he thought he was a player still. Mm. And he and Benoit went at it. He started calling each other names, and Benoit started talking about his head, talking about George, how big George head was. And George started calling him a fat, you know what? And George would want to fight. He was that combustible.
Yeah.
But you know what? That interaction, we loved it.
The rest of y'all are watching it like popcorn.
Because we had a coach that was like us.
Yeah.
You know? You could say anything to him. Like, he and Gary would go at it, but they loved each other.
Yeah.
Like, that was George's way of being close to his guys. And we loved it. I mean, so George was he's still talking junk on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, people just don't realize he's confrontational.
Yeah.
But to me, man, he galvanized our team. He really did. Yeah. We had opportunities to win. And so George was great.
We're watching film with the scouts. And this is when Wes Matthews Jr. was in college, right? And so, you know, we're debating, like, is he an NBA prospect or not? Like, I don't know, man. He's kind of built like a football player. He's not that great of a shooter. Like, he plays like the 4 in college. But it's like, at the same time, like, he's tough. He's a good defensive player. You can teach other stuff. And it doesn't hurt that he's got the bloodlines. Like, his dad played in the league. And one of the scouts said, oh, yeah? Who's his dad? And we're just like, his name is Wes Matthews Jr. I'll give you 3 guesses what his dad's name was.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.